It's so great to worship and go through the Word of God together at the 2 days before the new year. And so I thought what we could do today is we can recap a little bit of 2023 and then spend a little time to look forward to the future, 2024 and beyond. And in order to do that, I think better than me talking, I'd like to show you a quick video that recaps the year 2023. This video is taken from Vox, the YouTube channel, and in the consideration of time, we have shortened the clip just a little. We haven't taken out any of the major events from the video. We have taken out mostly things that apply locally to the United States. We've taken some of those out, but as a whole, the video is pretty intact, but we just shortened a little in consideration of time. So I'd like to show you that video to recap 2023, and we'll come back to the sermon. Let's watch the video now.
This summer could be described as the summer of strikes.
It's the first official day of the SAG-AFTRA strike.
We start in the Middle East.
Hamas has launched the biggest attack on Israel in years.
The Israeli military saying over 1,000 people were killed.
We hear the bullets whistling when they pass by.
Hamas say they're holding between 200 and 250 hostages.
We are putting a complete siege on Gaza. We're fighting animals and are acting accordingly.
No one is safe. Nowhere in Gaza is safe.
It is now 90 seconds to midnight.
2023 will go down as the hottest year on record.
The dense haze spreading from New England to Washington, D.C.
Witness long moons rise.
The fires are one of the worst natural disasters in Hawaii's history. The death toll stands at 115 people.
This was my home.
Three protesters are under arrest for interrupting the action.
We have to act.
Southern California is under its first ever tropical storm watch.
A once-in-a-century deadly deluge slamming Hong Kong.
The COP28 team did not deny using climate meetings to discuss fossil fuel deals.
This is really like a fox guarding the hen house moment.
Frankly, most companies who have set a net zero target don't know how they're going to get there.
Layoffs are sweeping corporate America.
I got laid off 2 days ago.
My government will continue to take action to bring down inflation, to ease the cost of living.
Bombastic side eye.
A group of orcas appear to be attacking and even sinking some boats.
Racing against time to find that missing submersible.
$250,000 a ticket.
Bankman-Fried now faces more than 100 years in prison.
First Republic is now the third major bank to fail since March. Flames and plumes of smoke lit up the sky in East Ohio after a train derailed.
The deadliest earthquake that Morocco has suffered in more than 100 years.
The number of people killed in earthquakes in Turkey and Syria has risen to nearly 50,000.
Two dams and four bridges collapsed.
India's deadliest train crash in decades.
It has been 1 year since Russia began its full-scale invasion of Ukraine.
If Russia stops fighting and leaves Ukraine, the war ends. If Ukraine stops fighting, Ukraine ends.
Fighting intensifies between Sudan's armed forces and the rebel Rapid Support Forces.
Over 1,500 pro-Bolsonaro supporters had been arrested after they stormed government buildings in Brasilia.
The situation in Manipur has been tense. The photos confirm news that no parent wants to hear.
A fishing boat sinking with hundreds on board, hundreds of migrants
missing. Now more than 1.7 million Afghans have been told to leave Pakistan.
Palestinians are dying in the tens of thousands, but we'll continue to say it is us who are not acknowledging humanity.
Tens of thousands showing their support for the Palestinian people.
The Israel-Hamas war is sparking an increase in Islamophobia and anti-Semitism.
Yet another mass shooting in this country.
10 people are dead.
In Mississippi.
In Louisville, Kentucky.
Shooting at an elementary school in Nashville.
Ain't no way in the world y'all are trying to ban TikTok, and y'all haven't even flinched at changing the gun laws.
Hamas agreeing on a deal that will free a number of hostages.
I still got hope in
because I know we are still here and we will never quit.
India is on the moon.
We choose to go back to the moon and then on to Mars, and we're going to do it together.
We are being asked to love the extraordinary species that is humankind and keep it alive. That's all this is.
Not sure how you felt about 2023. I don't think it's too much of an overstatement to say 2023 was a difficult year for most around the world. First, we have climate change, chaos, disasters caused by climate all over the world, wildfire in Canada and Hawaii, hurricane, record-setting typhoon, record-setting heat records and weather and temperature. There's chaos in the financial world, a lot of layoffs to tech companies, interest rates, inflation rates just keep going up and up and up. There's chaos in the diplomatic world. War seems to be happening, you know, every single year a new one pops up. We thought the Russian one was done, or maybe it will be done soon, and then Israel comes, and then there are just a bunch of other wars that are just swept under the rug that we don't even know, we don't even get to hear it. There's chaos in the social world, and social world I mean in our communities. There's violence, there's racism, there's mass shooting, there's stealing, there's hatred, there's discrimination. Now, of course, there are some bright spots in 2023. There are some bright spots, but I think you will agree with me in saying that these bright spots, these different accomplishments by sports teams, by athletes, by artists, these are pretty pale in comparison to the bad and the ugly that happened in 2023. Now, I don't know, if you came here today, if you came here today looking for a little bit of a happier last sermon of the year, we'll get to there in just a sec. How would you rate 2023 if you were to give it a number? There was a survey done by a market research company, Ipsos. They surveyed 25,000 people in 34 countries of different age group, and their report found that 70% of the people say that this year was a bad year for their country. How would you rate 2023? So that was a great recap, and now we look forward to 2024. We look forward to the future. What's your rating on 2024? What's your outlook on 2024? Usually, when we ask this question, you can take one of two sides. You can take the side of optimism, or you can take the side of pessimism. Are you optimistic about 2024? Some people may be. That same survey that I showed you, market research survey, tells us that 70% of the people think next year will be a better year. But when we ask them, or when the survey asks them, well, what do you think is going to be in 2024 for you? What is there? They aren't really that optimistic. 75% of the people say the prices will continue to go higher than the people's wages. When you ask them, do you think the war will end? Only 30% of the people said the war will end. The weather will continue to get worse. And when you ask them, oh, are people going to become more tolerant and loving? Only 30% of the people says, yeah, people may become more tolerant and loving. Essentially, it's more of the same as this year. Are you optimistic? Maybe you're like me. I have a hard time believing the world will become better. After all, 2023 was the better year that 2022 thought it was going to be. And so we fall to the other side. Are you pessimistic about 2024? That things will not get better, the world will continue to fall apart. And so we go by the saying, ignorance is bliss. If you just don't check the news, nothing is going to happen. Why bother checking any of this stuff? Why bother paying attention anyway? Live in the moment. That's what we like to do. Live in the moment. Scroll TikTok. Enjoy life. Make the most if you can. The other side of pessimism is stress, is anxiety. We live in crisis. We live in fear and paralyzed. We're paralyzed by just thinking about all these things, and we think, oh, we can't go on anymore. Pessimism. Do you have that? We have 2 days until 2024. I think you will agree with me in saying that neither of this side is helpful. Optimism, pessimism is not helpful. Especially, it's not really helpful for a Christ follower to carry these looking into the future. And that brings us to the end of our sermon series today. Very fittingly, we are looking at the end of the book of Revelation as we go to the end of the year. And I would want to present to you the end of Revelation, I believe, shows us a third option to look into the future. A third option to live this life now. Where are we? Where are we in the book of Revelation? Quick recap. At the beginning of our journey, we looked at the present time. We looked at spiritual reality as it is now. We said Jesus Christ is still in the middle of the church. God is still on the throne. He's still carrying out his judgments, his will, by opening the seven seals. The seven trumpets then bring on God's judgment, and in the break between the sixth and the seventh, the church is being called to continue to preach the word. And then we see the cosmic war, the spiritual warfare behind all of this, and we start to understand why it is difficult for Christ followers. And then we see seven bowls of God's judgment, and then we see the world continue to live without God, continue to rebel, continue to go against God's ways. And those people are the city of Babylon, portrayed as a prostitute. But we saw the end of the prostitute. We saw her judgment. And then we start to come to the future. 2 weeks ago, we saw the end of Babylon. And then we start to see Jesus. He returns as a conqueror, defeating Satan, bringing judgment, righting all the wrongs, and judging death and Hades. This is where we are now. But we haven't seen what the future looks like. What's the future for us beyond 2023, beyond 2024? This is what John saw. Revelation chapter 21. Then John saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. A city, holy city. This is the people of God, contrasted with Babylon, the people without God. So in this new heaven and new earth, people of God is there. So you have to ask the question, what is in the new heaven and new earth? What's in the future? What does the future hold for the people of God? What John sees next, we can kind of break it down into two categories. What is not there and what is there. What he did not see and what he saw. Let's start from what you won't be able to find. What you won't be able to find in new heaven and new earth. The first thing that he did not see, he said, I did not see sea in this. The sea was no more. Not that you can't drink. Not that you can't swim in new heaven and new earth. Sea is a symbol. Sea in the Bible represents forces of chaos and disasters and phenomena that threatens the lives of humanity. Meaning, in this new place, John didn't see any earthquake. John didn't see any wildfire, didn't see any heat dome, didn't see any climate change. You know, so many people in this world right now are doing everything they can to try to get to there. But none of the brightest minds of this planet can guarantee these things don't happen. They can only slow down climate change. But you know what John saw? In a new heaven and new earth, you don't need to worry about climate change. You don't need to protest against the companies. No more sea, no more chaos, no more disasters. Do you want to be in it? Second thing that he couldn't find. He couldn't find a certain group of people. This group of people caused chaos and caused evil. This is what he says. He says, chapter 21, verse 8. All cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars, their portion is not in the city. Their portion is in the lake that burns with fire. These are the people whose characters are inconsistent with God. These people you won't find. Meaning, there's not going to be serial killers. There's not going to be gun violence. There's not going to be rich people taking advantage and stealing from the poor. You know how much this world wants that world? You know how many protests there are against gun laws? You know how many strikes there were for better pay? You know how many protests against anti-racism? John is like, you don't need to protest any of this stuff. Do you want to be here? The third thing John couldn't find in this city. He looked and he looked and he looked and he says, I couldn't find any closed gates in this city. When God's people live in a new heaven and new earth, there is not going to be any separation, any hierarchy. Remember, the city is the people of God. And when there's no closed gates between the people of God, it means there's no separation. There's no supremacy. There's no discrimination. There's no racism. People won't kill one another because of the color of their skin. No one will make fun of you because you have an accent. Do you know how many protests there are against racism? And do you know that this world actually is possible? People can actually live in harmony and love. Do you want to be here? The next thing John didn't see, he says there's no night there. As in, there's no darkness there. Everything that you usually associate with the nighttime, with darkness, with thief, with evil, none of this there. And what that means is ultimately, there's no tears, there's no death, there's no mourning, there's no pain. John didn't see anybody doing that in this world. That's a world where we all want to be, is it not? Now, that was all the things that John did not see. What did he see? What is there in the new heaven and new earth? What does the future have in store for the people of God? First thing, he saw creation. And for the lack of better words, things. This is what God says. God says, I am making all things new. Not, I am making all new things. Important distinction. He's making all things new. Taking what's here, making it new again. Renewal, transformation. He's not saying, I'm making all new things. He's not destroying the old, destroying whatever is here, and then start again, start from scratch. That's not what he's saying. God's saying, I'm making all things new. That means there are things. There's creation. All the stuff that you see, probably going to be there. It's not heaven. New heaven and new earth is not just space and sky and clouds and angels floating around. That's why it's called new heaven and new earth. Not just new heaven. What God revealed to us in Revelation, you read a tree. Trees that give fruit and give life. Abundant life. You read of a river of life that heals people. You read of streets and city and walls and gates, all of them made beautifully with God's glory. Even if all these things are not purely literal, they are symbolic. It tells us new heaven and new earth is a place. It's a tangible, physical, beautiful place free of decay and sin and curse. I don't know. Perhaps you can enjoy the sunset of Hawaii again. Maybe you can hike up Mount Everest without dying. All of this creation revealing God's creativity and his glory as it was meant to be from the beginning. All of it was good when God made it. Don't you want to be in there? Second category of things that John saw. He saw people, culture, civilization. We read people of every tribe, nation, and language. People groups, peoples. That's what we see in the book of Revelation. We read of kings bringing their glory and honor into the city, meaning bringing their wisdom, bringing their culture, bringing their tradition perhaps, bringing their technology into the city, bringing their art, all the good stuff. As God had originally designed human beings to be, live in harmony, live in prosperity. Theologians sometimes will go even a step further to imagine what this world might be like. I'd like to read you a quote. One theologian imagines it like this. I love this quote. He says, "Would there be better Beethovens on the new earth? Shall we read better poetry, better drama, better prose? Will scientists continue to advance in technological achievements? Will geologists continue to dig out the treasures of the earth? And will architects continue to build imposing and attractive structures? Will there be new enticing adventures and space travels?" I believe so. I want to be here. Don't you want to be here? The third thing that John saw, most important one of them all, he says he saw God. Most important thing, shouldn't say thing, most important person that he saw in the new heaven and new earth. God's there. You have direct access to him. John says you see him face to face. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine walking with God by the streets and by the river, admiring his creation? How did you make this snowflake like this? Oh, you see, son, all you do is you just speak it and it will. Can you imagine creating a piece of art, creating a piece of music for God, and he is now admiring your creation? Better yet, can you imagine creating together? Can you plant a garden, organize the city, reign over the city? That's what we read. You reign with him forever and ever. Can you imagine reigning over the creation with God? God's there. All the time, 24/7. You don't have to wonder, oh, he's not here. Oh, can I pray to him? Can I, what should I say? I don't feel. You don't have to wonder any of that anymore. I don't know about you, but I want to be here. That's what the future holds for Christ followers. That's the place for Christ followers, for the people of God. This place, just a quick summary, it has no sea, it has no chaos in it. It has no people that cause chaos in it. There's no people that do evil. There's no closed gates. There's no division in it. There's no death. There's no mourning. There's no tears. There's no pain. And in this beautifully renewed world, people will be there. Community will be there. And they will thrive. And they will live in prosperity and love and harmony. Do you want to be here? Do you want your future to be in this place? If you're a normal human being, hopefully, your question is, I want to, how? How do I get a chance to get into heaven? I'll tell you how, just very quickly. Remember the context of chapter 21 and 22? This is not really about the new heaven and new earth. This is a marriage. This is about the groom and the bride. The groom has chosen the bride, God's people. He paid a price. He made a promise with them, betrothed, remember? He then went on to prepare a place, as was the custom. Prepare the place, prepare a room for the bride. That place that he prepared is the new heaven and new earth for the bride. And that's why you read in all this description of new heaven and new earth, you read it at the beginning, chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. John says, "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Twice he says this. The point is not really about the new stuff. It's about who is there. New heaven and new earth is the home of the bride. So when you ask the question, how do I go to heaven? You're actually asking, how do I become the bride? How do I become the bride? Now, the good news, is there's nothing the bride did to become the bride. It's because of the groom, of what the groom did. We kind of covered this the past 2 weeks, so I'll quickly recap this. How do you become the bride? You believe in the groom. You believe in the price that he paid for you. He died on a cross and he was raised to life. And you be faithful for him. You live faithfully for him because you're engaged. You're betrothed to him. And you're prepared. You prepare for his return. That's the bride. That's the bride that enters into this place that was prepared for her. And so if you say, I believe, I do, I want to tell you, 2024 is not your future. 2025, 2026, all the years, however long you live, however long it's going to be, that's not your future. New heaven and new earth is your future. And so at the beginning, I suggested that there's a third way to live. Third way to live as we go on to the new year. The third way is not optimism. It's not pessimism. The third way, the better way, I believe, is hope. Live with hope. Important distinction. Hope is not the same as hopeful. Being hopeful is believing something positive will happen, but you're not sure. That's optimism. Biblical hope is different. Biblical hope is a certainty. It's a conviction. Something 100% is going to happen. That's hope, not hopeful. Well, you think, well, what does this look like? What does a person living with hope look like? I'll give you some examples. I'm pretty sure you can imagine this, but I'll paint it out for you. I imagine a person that lives with hope will know that 2024, 2025, however long, it's probably going to get worse. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls, it's written there. And in fact, bad things might happen to them. But I imagine this person, he may go through a loss of a family member, a sickness, a tragedy, division, whatever. But they're confident, they are sure that this life is not their end. Their end is a much, much beautiful, better place. And so they cry, they mourn, but they continue to move on, to live with hope. Because they know that this day was going to pass. Their tears will be wiped away, and they will know joy and peace and comfort. I imagine this person will live differently each day. I imagine they're not going to waste their time. A person with hope is not going to waste their time. A person with pessimism is going to ignore everything, waste their life because there's no point. But a person with hope will say, no, there's much more to this. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to live in a moment because I know I'm going to face the judgment throne and I'm going to be rewarded when I get there. I'm not going to be lazy anymore. I'm not going to spend 24 hours of my day scrolling TikTok. Come on. They are certain that's going to happen. So they change their lives. They live responsibly. That's hope. I imagine this person will be contagious, will be different, will be influential. Because when they live like this, people will say, what is it that you believe in? How do you have joy in difficult times? How do you believe when things are confusing? You know what? People will want not only the hope, people will want their future. That's living with hope. And church, I want to suggest to you, that's the way we ought to live going to 2024, going to 2025, 26, whatever. Live with hope. Now, church, the unfortunate thing is somewhere along the years, somewhere as we grew up, we lost this. And not just you. There's moments in my life where I lost it. People all over the world are losing it, have lost it. We have so lowered our expectation of the future to 2 days later, 2024. That's my future. We have lowered our expectation of the future to predictions, to survey, to where do you think next year there's the economy is going to come back, to when do you think next year you're going to go on the cruise, to go to holiday, next year whether your job will be better. If your outlook on your future is next year, is this city, is this country, is your own timeline, come on, your hope is too small. It's too insecure, it's too fragile, you know this. Your hope is too small. Church, your hope is much bigger than this. Your future is much bigger than 2024 and 2025. You have a much more beautiful and glorious future. Don't let the world take your hope away. As we come to the end, I want to share with you a story. A story about hope. Closest comparison I can find. This story takes place in 2020. Y'all remember 2020? Nobody wants to remember 2020. 2020, if you need a reminder, is the COVID year. This is the year, according to the survey, 90% of the people said it was horrible. Difficult time, dark place. In 2020, there was a girl, young lady to be exact, who, like everybody, was struggling to cope with COVID, with the dark time, with the bad, you know, all the stuff going on, unsure of the future, uncertain of what to do. She's still looking for a career, trying to work on her relationship. But in the summer of 2020, halfway, she found hope. More accurately, she was given hope. Because her then boyfriend, which is me, for 10 years, have finally, come on, we waited for so long, we finally proposed. In his speech, you know what he said? He said how difficult it had been during COVID to plan for a proposal. It was supposed to be a restaurant. It was supposed to be behind the piano. Now we went to Steveston. It's beside some geese's. Everything they planned went to the dumpster. But that summer, that night, he went on his knees and he made a promise that no matter what comes after COVID, easier or more difficult, he made a promise to go through it together. He made a promise to work for a brighter future, to provide and to protect her. He made that promise with a ring, with a flower, with a group of witnesses in front of their friends in church and small group. And because of the promise, the young lady found hope. 2020 did not get any better. In fact, it got worse. 2021 was probably even worse. But she had hope because she is holding on to a promise. Hope allowed her to keep going. Hope allowed her to keep on going even when COVID seems to be clamping everything to a stop. Hope allowed her to endure the sleepless nights and the long nights of planning and working through uncertainties. Hope allowed her to persevere and not give up. Don't miss this. She had hope because there was a promise given to her. A promise that she believed couldn't be broken. A promise of a better future. Today, church, you have a much, much bigger promise. Because you see, the promise is not made with a speech. It's not made with a ring. It's not made with a flower. The promise is made with the price on the cross. And you know what? It's a promise that's written down, not just said, it's written down. the book that we're reading, at the end, you know what it says? It says, these words are trustworthy and true. This is the covenant. This is the promise that I give to you. It's already written down. Nobody can change it. 2,000 years of witnesses have been looking at this. And this promise is not made by a random dude in Steveston in 2020. You know what this promise, who this promise is made by? You know what his name is? He calls himself faithful and true. It means he doesn't lie. He cannot lie. He will not lie. Whatever he promised, he will accomplish. He will keep his promise. And you know what this, who this promise is made by? You know what he calls himself? He calls himself the beginning and the end. He doesn't have to work for a house, come on. He doesn't have to save up to, oh, let's get an apartment, let's get a townhouse so that you can live better. He is the future, he is the end. He controls, he holds the future. What he promises, he's telling you it will happen because he is the future. 100% guaranteed. This is the most important part. This promise is not made by a random dude in Steveston in 2020 to another girl. Church, you're not a spectator in this. You're not a guest in this. You're not a crowd looking, oh, there's a proposal. You're not. It's made to you. You are the one the promise is made to. Christ made the promise to you. He promised you. That's how you live with hope. You see, 2024, 2025, 2026 will probably be even worse. But you know what Jesus is telling you? He's telling you your future is not 24, it's not 25. Your future is not the surveys, all that kind of stuff. It's not even whether you can find a boyfriend next year, find a girlfriend next year, get a job next year. No, your future is much bigger than this. Your future rests on a promise that cannot be broken. The promise says the Lord Jesus will certainly come back for his bride. The promise says he hasn't forgotten. The promise says when he returns, he will bring you and you and you to a better place. He prepared just for you. And the promise says the bride and the groom will live happily ever after.